First Corinthians 12, we're going to be looking at this evening to start with. Welcome everyone this evening.
First Corinthians.
Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, allowing us to be in your house, Father. Thank you for those that are here this evening, Father, and for this morning. Thank you for the fellowship we've had yesterday and today, Father. Just ask that you be with the prayer requests, especially with the classes now and the teachers, Father. Help us to be attentive to your word. We ask you to be with Brother Campbell and help heal his body, Father, and help him to be back with us. And just thank you for all the fathers today. Especially be with those that are lost in the classes, Father, that the lessons would be accompanied with your spirit and your word, Father, that they might convict and draw, that they might be saved. And just thank you for this day again, allowing us to be in your house. We ask you to sing to your son's precious name. Amen. So we've been looking at the church, specifically the membership within the church the last couple weeks. So we're going to continue looking at that this evening. What does it mean to be a member of one of the Lord's New Testament churches? Responsibilities, benefits, everything that goes along with that. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this evening, verses 12 through 27, to start our reading. And I'll have Brother Ron read that. Verse 12 through 27.
Whereas the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular.
Thank you. I love how God takes something that we can relate to and give it a spiritual teaching behind it. He's teaching us here about the church, the members of the church, using a physical body as a picture. Something we can relate to, because we all have physical bodies. Each member is equal. Hopefully you got that out of these verses here. Each piece of our physical body is equal. We might think that the brain is more important, but what could the brain without eyeballs, or a mouth, or ears, or hearts?
God doesn't make mistakes. He made us after his own image. That means every part of our physical body is important and has a purpose. Okay. If man deems it unnecessary and tries to cut it out and get rid of it, there's a purpose for it to begin with.
And the body suffers.
Just as God, right. And yeah. Just as God places the members in the church, he has a purpose for each and every one of them.
I was going to go to there. When we think that a member is not necessary, who do we to say? It'd be like telling our body the pinky's not necessary, or the little toe, or the whatever part of your body. Even, we used to cut tonsils out. I had my tonsils out when I was 4.5 or 5, I think. I was pretty young. With my sister. Because they used to cut tonsils out. Well, now they don't cut tonsils out. They see that they have a purpose, some kind of filter.
They learned as part of the immune system now.
Yeah. So Anyway, I just love how God uses pictures to give us, teach us here about the church membership. Nothing should cause some church members to be considered more important than others. Let's pick on Brother Ron. You know, he's the most important teacher we have because he's an adult Sunday school teacher. Well, we can't say that, and Brother Ron wouldn't say that. Because if the Tiny Tots teacher didn't do their job, he wouldn't have a very good adult class that many years later when the Tiny Tots became adults. I mean, I'm just trying to use something that we can all relate to, that there's not one that's more important than another member when we look at the membership, members. In verse 14 it says here, "For the body is not one member, but many." Not one of us can say, "I'm the church," because that's not true. It's each member that makes up the church. The body is not one member. The body is many members. It's all of us that make up that body. In verse 25, the purpose for all this, that there should be no schism, can't say it very well, in the body. That there's no this arm's competing with this arm to get to the food, or, you know, we need to work together, in other words. And it's the same way with the church body. We shouldn't have factions, we shouldn't have fightings among the members, because then how is the body going to function? If you look there at verse 25, the members should have the same care one for another. My ear should care just as much about the other ear. Otherwise, it's going to be overworked, so to speak. You know, it's going to have to be overhearing. In fact, this ear does have to be overworked because this ear is bad. But anyway, we should care about one another. All church members are equally important and equally needed. That means we are accountable to each other. There is no room for individual agendas or private lives when it comes to our membership. My right hand can't go off and do its own thing and not impact the whole body, you know, because it's kind of, you pull it back, it needs to be, it impacts the rest of the body. And it's the same way with the church body. God expects us to work together, to be unity. Psalms 133, how beautiful it is to dwell in unity, that psalm there. It's sweet when we work together and accomplish things. It's frustrating when we don't work together and we don't accomplish anything. There's a purpose why we don't accomplish things when we, it's because we don't work together. In verse 18, now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So who are we to think it is our membership to either neglect or mistreat or move without consulting God in prayer and, you know, a lot of caution when we go to move from one church to another? Is it really what we want to do versus what the Lord wants? Because the verse here is, it pleased him to put me in this body. What does that mean if I go to move my membership? Is he going to still be pleased? So sometimes we think it's our membership to either mistreat by not coming, by not participating, being neglectful, by not growing in knowledge and truth like each member is supposed to be, that the body as a whole gets stronger, that I don't need to study because I don't need to know that stuff. I'm not a teacher. I'm saved. I'm good. I'm just going to coast till the Lord comes back. Who are we to say that when it's him that added us? It's him that expects the same out of each member. We shouldn't expect Ron to teach every class until the Lord comes back. We should all be able to step in if needed and be teachers, for instance, to grow in knowledge to where we can be fruitful members of the body. Each church member should carry their own part of the church's responsibilities. Each member should help other members in their efforts to work for the Lord. Do we have a willing attitude as a body? Like I said, this ear doesn't work very good. This ear is willing to pick up, you know, is that one? It's willing to pick up the slack, so to speak. So are we willing to do that also? And then Galatians chapter 6, let's go there. Josh used this in devotional. And we didn't even to bits before he did his devotional. He must have known I was going to teach on this. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Sister Shelley, if you could read that. And verse 10.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have, rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden.
Verse 10.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Okay, so this is just one spot we're going to look at. We're going to look at more places. How the Lord admonishes us to care for each other, to bear each other's burdens. Let every man prove his own work. Don't be just a taker at all times. Be a giver to the body. Supply the blood, so to speak, that helps the whole body. Transmission to heart. How would the brain work without the heart? The heart gives the blood to the brain. Sometimes you might have to be the heart for the body. The next time you might be the little pinky, but you know, be willing to step in where the body needs help. And we're all going to give an account of our lives as church members individually to the Lord. But until then, we are to help each other to be the best church member God would have us to be. Because that means then we will be the best body and best church that the God would have in this community. Sister Rochelle.
And thinking of that as a physical body, when we're deficient in something, the whole body suffers. So if you're one of the members that is deficient or pulling yourself away, that affects the whole rest of the body. If you pulled yourself away, it's like being deficient of vitamin D or vitamin B. You know, your whole body suffers. It doesn't function the way it's designed to function.
Let's take Lucas's dad as an example. His heart. He's having a problem with his heart. What does that do to the rest of the body?
Yeah.
I mean, Sister Kathy would know, and Sister Shadow, those that are in the medical field, how important the heart is to the whole body.
You know, when you have a heart attack, because those they call them, the veins are getting clogged, is what they say. Right. You know what those veins are supplying blood to? Those are the veins that supply blood to the heart. Mm-hmm. And those are the most important veins, most important veins in the body, because if they don't work right, your heart can't supply blood to itself. And they realized that blood, the second most important is the brain, right? Blood to the brain. And that blood to the brain is actually cooling the brain off at the same time, because it's supplying life to the brain. If those little intricate things aren't working correctly, that part seizes up and goes into cardiac arrest.
Right.
That's a little thing. You look at that, you look at a picture of a heart, and you probably won't even notice until you're there. But they're the most important things in the body.
And that's there back there in our reading in Galatians, no, 1 Corinthians. More honor to the lesser.
Right.
That's a perfect example of that. These itty bitty little veins, compared to the whole body, you might think were lesser. Well, they're the most, actually, the most important. Most honorable, you could say. God expects church members to respond to others with good works, but especially toward fellow church members. It is never God's intention that we mistreat each other. You know, we might not help, be the first to jump to help somebody out in the world, maybe even to another church, but we should never hesitate with our own body. Brother Josh.
Some of the unsung heroes of the New Testament, guys like Tychicus, Epaphroditus, Epaphras, not stars, not At award shows like the Oscars and, you know, the music shows, there's always the people who win are the ones that are seen on stage. What do they do during their speeches? They spend time thanking those
support
who go behind the scenes who support them and make them able to do what they do. People don't always
allow them to be up there.
Exactly.
Because of the work they did.
Vacation Bible School comes, and, you know, our pastor and Brother Dolan are going to be the one in front of everybody. You know, that's their opportunity, and they should be the faces of the church when it's their time, when people are there. They get to share a gospel message. But it takes, you know, you look at these pictures that are getting done, and you look at, you know, all this design. Even this building now, there's going to be a lot more by next week. There's a lot that has to go down behind the scenes to make it possible for our pastor and Brother Dolan to be able to preach the gospel to those families that Friday night.
How many hours of prep, Brother Ron, do and the painting and the coloring? And not picking on Brother Ron, but
I directed a lot more behind you.
Yeah.
Supporting cast. That's a lot.
Supporting cast, it took months and months and months, yes. But that's those are the pieces that God notices and blesses, those things that are done behind the scenes. Now, Brother Barnett has brought lessons recently on fasting, and don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. When we do things for the Lord and it's behind the scenes, those are the things that the Lord recognizes and will bless. Sister Rochelle.
But then there's, you know, maybe you aren't able to, let's just pick another. Maybe you aren't able to do as much as him. Maybe you were only able to do one thing. Or just thank him. Or Brother Doug, or Brother Josh, or who, Sister Rachel, anybody that's participated in getting this all put together. That is edifying one another.
Right.
And didn't you read that too?
Yep.
And building each other up, not for self-praise, but for the work, the body.
Yep. Encouraged praying. I mean, Brother Doug also always mentions, if you're not, even Travis, when he dismisses Sunday school every week, even if you're not a teacher, if you're an assistant, be ready and pray for the teacher.
Yeah. And that goes right into what you just read.
Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2. Brother Sean, want to read? Verses 19 through 22 of Ephesians chapter 2.
19 through 22?
Yep.
Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. And they are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord,
Did you know that this church here in Vancouver is a habitation of God?
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere else in this area does he meet with man like he does with us. That's a privilege, but it's also a responsibility. We are a building fitly framed together that's growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Do we look at our church membership as such? On the days that we're not here, so to speak. We are fellow citizens with saints and of the household of God. We are going to a beautiful place for eternity. We all have tickets to heaven. We might not all have tickets to that city where the bride is going to live. But we're all citizens of heaven for eternity, those of us that are saved. And we are built upon a foundation that was started by the Lord himself and the apostles. We are part of a big and wonderful thing. And I think sometimes we don't realize that. We just think we're part of this world. Go Travis.
Well, you know, church members read their Bibles and they study and they pray. I want to be part of the bride. I want to be part of the bride. But I don't want to do this in church. I don't agree with the way the church is going on this. And man, if only we had this in our church. If only our pastor did things this way. And only, you're talking about your way, like you just said, your ticket to the bride. This is it, if you're a member here. This is your opportunity to show yourself faithful to be part of the bride. has that sign in her garden. Can't remember how it's worded. Blossom where the Lord plants you, or something like that. Bloom where the Lord plants you. You know, wherever the Lord plants you. And, you know, if you get planted in this church or any church, blossom, thrive, be fruitful. You know, multiply. You know, and show that you're really desiring to be part of the bride, not just saying, you know, I want to be a part of the bride because it's read it in the Bible. Well, show that you want to be a part of the bride.
We are in the espousal period.
This is your opportunity to be in the bride.
Right.
You know, just like those 10 virgins that Jesus talked about, there was 5 of them that had extra oil and 5 of them that did not. Well, before the wedding happened, that's when you have to be ready for the wedding. You know, have that extra oil because you don't know when the groom's coming. So this is the time in this church. This is your opportunity, you know, to say, wait a minute, why am I thinking, oh, if only we did things this way. This is the way the church is going, then that's the way you need to go.
You know, Willy Wonka, and he found a ticket. You know, everybody wanted a ticket, the golden ticket, to get into the Willy Wonka factory. For us, we are working to get that ticket into that city. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the only time frame that we have is our physical life here to earn that ticket into the bride, to be part of the bride.
Difference is we're all running that race, in the worldly sense. The one who finishes the race is the only winner.
We can all be winners.
We can all be winners.
Every one of us could be in the bride.
We don't have to come up short. We come up short.
It's not a competition, in other words. Sean's right. We think of a race having only one winner. We can all be winners.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it the way that all we have to do is strive lostly. And the race is going on. We can reach out and encourage someone not to give up on the race. You know, we can make it to the finish line, so to speak. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, Sister Rochelle.
16?
16, verse 16, chapter 4.
From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Okay, so every church member should supply or give something toward building up the church. The church functions in a normal, healthy manner when each church member is in his place to fulfill his role in the body, in the church. We all have different roles and responsibilities as elected upon, but we all have the same base responsibilities of being here, encouraging each other. And that's not just here, but encouraging each other even away from here. Think of a body that has parts that function as they should versus parts of the body that go against their role or against what the body is trying to accomplish. Every church member should build up the church in love. It says here, like every joint, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You know, I'm having a problem with this shoulder going to physical therapy. When this joint doesn't work, it's a pain. Pain in the word, just to do the simple things. You know, I'm looking at this every joint supply. But I think we've hammered that enough to realize that we are to work together and to give and not just take. In Matthew chapter 5, so what happens when you have parts of your body that has gangrene or parts that it just isn't, you know, it's not working? I picked out these verses, and they might not apply, but I thought try to get my point across here. Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, Brother Travis.
And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell.
And you know, this is talking about salvation, I'm sure, and not letting things of this world or things in your life allow you not to be saved. But as a body and bridal relationship, there's a reason why we have church discipline. And I think Brother Ron just went through church discipline, but this is the last resort when it comes to a piece of our body that's not functioning. Amputation, is, you know, we all know what that means. When it comes to the spiritual body, it's similar. Because there in Ephesians 5, it talks about presenting the church as a chaste virgin at that wedding. And to do that, we have to remain pure as a body. And so sometimes that's why we have church discipline. So it's important that the body be part of the bride, so plucking or cutting may be needed, as we see here. Plucking the eye or cutting, pruning, so to speak. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. Brother Lucas, if you could read that.
Verse 30?
Yes, please.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
Think about who started the church. What is the church really? It's the body of Christ. Who supplies it? Who is has the authority? Whose body is it really? We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So each of us make up a body in Christ, with Christ as the head. This makes it different than anything else in the world, if you think about it. There's no other organization, religion, thinking about false religion, denomination, different denominations, that can say they are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Similar to when we observe the Lord's Supper, it's a memorial. We are living pieces of the Lord. Brother Travis.
Well, you read it in Ephesians, and also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we are no longer strangers, foreigners.
Yeah, fellow citizens.
We're fellow citizens. And that's why it's so unique, the Lord's body, is because people who had nothing to do with each other before, once they enter into the Lord's body, now they have everything to do with each other. And, I mean, that just makes it so much more unique that God can take just complete strangers and put them together, and they can work with one goal and one purpose because of Christ.
You know, I've said this before, if this was the Elks this evening, we all joined the Elks, how much would we really have in common with each other? You know, there's different age, like, how much older am I than Lucas? Would Lucas really hang around me because I'm an old guy? He's a young guy. That's what makes us unique, is the Lord puts us together and expects us to get along. Mm-hmm. It's not a social club where we can pick and choose who we get along with and who we aren't. Rather, it is unique and special. Philippians chapter 2. Is it really necessary that we show an interest or a concern to each other? Verses 3 and 4. Sister Lonnie of Philippians chapter 2. Thank you. 3 and 4. You did it right. God expects church members to be at peace among themselves, to care about each other, and not being nosy with each other. That's what verse 4 says here. Nothing done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Did you catch that? Better than themselves. Do you treat others better than you treat your own self? Or is it, I get mine first, and then any leftovers on it, I might give to others. Or my family gets first, me and mine first, and then other members in the church after that. That's not what verse 3 is saying here. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This is not saying being nosy. This is being, this means caring. With being genuine. God does not approve of strife or selfishness between church members. We are not an island to ourselves or able to shut others out and do our own thing, which we do at times. We should be accountable to each other. When one member acts ungodly, it affects the whole body, and the other should quickly be there saying, this isn't good. You know, there's tactful ways and there's untactful ways to approach somebody that's in the body that's being ungodly. And we all know how to be tactful if there's love there. Brother Travis.
And that's, I think, where this stems, where this begins, is in your own private prayer closet. How do you think about your fellow church members? How do you pray about
them? Are you even praying about
them? How do you talk about them? Right. You know, when they're not around, do you pray for them? I mean, there's a reason why Brother Duggan encourages us to pray for one another. It's in the Bible. You know, I'm not going to be nice to you and cordial to you and polite in public when I'm not in private. You know, I may put on a show, but sometimes you can look through the facade and just know in your heart there's no love for me in there. You just love yourself, you know. But if you're praying for that person in your own prayer closet, that will show physically as well. There will be a genuine care. And it's not like, oh, we need to be lovey-dovey, but that's what this is talking about. You know, let esteem others better than themselves. You know, when you pray for your own family, do you ask for God to bless another family in the church before He blesses yours? I mean, not like God, you know, has a schedule, you know, like I bless one at a time, you can bless them all at the same time, but do you actually, I mean, please look after the needs of this family before you look after mine, you know, kind of thing.
And I'm guilty of that. I always pray for the grandkids first, for all this type of this. And before Lucas speaks, the example of last week when Lucas from St. Louis, I didn't know until we were on our way out to the car that he was going to St. Louis. But once I found out, I prayed for him that week. Because, you know, planes crash and stuff happens.
Don't say that.
But it's something like that. Well, if he'd gone to St. Louis and I didn't know about it, and I didn't even pray for him, and the plane crashed, I would have like, I didn't even know he was going to St. Louis. I could have prayed for him.
Oh, man. To go along with what Brother Travis was saying, Brother Barnett, a while ago, I think it was pretty close to when I first got back in the church. And he was preaching a message about this sort of stuff that Brother Travis was just talking about. But we looked at that verse twice today. There's been a couple that we looked at twice.
Yeah, Galatians 6.
Brother Barnett said, if you're having trouble or difficulty, conflict with another church member, whether they're in this church or in another church, spend extra time praying for them. Spend extra time praying for them. Is what Brother Travis was saying, that will come out. At the very least, it will, in my personal experience doing that, it alleviates a lot of the stress that surrounds the whatever my feelings are about that person. At the very least. You know, and I'm not praying, please help them not be rude to me, you know, because that's a selfish prayer. That's not me praying for them, that's me praying for me, right? Pray for them.
Love, what's that? Love overlooks a multitude of sins. When we really love someone, it allows us to overlook their faults, things that bug us, allows us to overlook their sins. Brother Lucas.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And I don't want this to come across the wrong way to anybody, but there's a difference between loving somebody and liking somebody.
Yes.
There's a big difference. And we're commanded to love because love is a very powerful thing. You said, you know, we have more in common than if this was an Elks Club. We do. We're equally yoked together. And we have the ability to strive together in unity. And it says endeavoring to keep the unity
of the faith.
Of the faith. And the bond of peace. It doesn't say it's going to automatically happen. We have to endeavor. That's a strong effort to do that. And I don't have to like everything that you like. And I don't have to be involved in every activity that you're involved with.
Right.
But we do have commonality here. We do have commonality in the Word. We do have commonality in the goal that we're going to. And in that, and in the love that we can have for one another as a spiritual gift, these things, these problems that we have with one another, I think, can kind of fade and disappear into that really doesn't matter, does it? It really doesn't in the end. For crying out loud, it doesn't. There's not going to be, at the judgment seat of Christ, there's not going to be a point where he's like, well, why didn't you do this? And they're like, well, because they were there. And I don't like them. That's not going to be an excuse. He's going to shut your mouth up before you're even able to say that.
Or you're going to be so ashamed that you won't even, can't even offer up an excuse.
There will be no excuses. In any of the three major judgments that I see, I don't see excuses being part of that for us.
And, the things of this life, we sometimes make big deals because we lose focus of the big picture of where we're going and who we are and what we're a part of. We let the little things like color the curtains matter. What does it matter what color the curtains are in my floor? Once we get to heaven.
What they said to me. How they looked to me.
First Corinthians 12:18. Yeah. God had set the members, every one of them in the body, said, pleased him. We're not here for ourselves.
Pleased him, not ourselves. We didn't pick to be here. We might have thought we picked us to be here, but God is the one ahead of us. Mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 2, we'll finish here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Brother Josh, you want to read that? First John 2:19.
They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us.
God doesn't make mistakes. If God truly added you here, he didn't make a mistake. If we didn't continue here where God added us, it's not God's fault. God expects church members to continue in the truth. When he added us to a church, he expects us to remain faithful. And he knew when he added us, we were capable of being the type of church member that would edify the body, or he would not have added us. So we can never use excuses. You can talk about excuses. Well, I just, I never felt part of that body. Never felt accepted. Never felt truly part of it.
Didn't try hard.
Makes you question those who say, well, God's willing for me to be here. And then later on,
move.
For all intents and purposes, saying God made a mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Because they're using excuses.
God doesn't make mistakes. There's a reason why God does the things that he does. So just something to think about it as part of the church membership. If God put you here, you can make it work. You can be part of the bride. Because God wouldn't put you here if he didn't think you could be part of the bride or part of his body. Thank you for your input. Next week, we're going to start looking at the ordinances. You can't look at the church and not look at the ordinances. Kind of go hand in hand. That'll be Thursday next week. Let's go ahead and we'll be dismissed. What's that, right, Ron? Yeah. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the classes this evening, Father, for your word that we're able to use. As a pattern to how to live our lives, Father, as not just day-to-day people, Father, but members of your body. We thank you for the church that you shed your blood for. Help us to see the importance of it and the privilege and the honor, Father. Be with your neighbor in service this evening. Be with the message. All the prayer requests, especially Brother Campbell. We ask these things in your son's precious name. Amen.